Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And as always, we are wishing you the best. And we have so many classes and workshops coming up really soon. You can check out naturalnurse.com calendar. And many of our classes offer CE credits if you are a health professional. For instance, we have one on marketing herbal remedies, legal considerations. And that's something like many people start to make their own extracts and tinctures. In fact, they come on walks with myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone. We have one of those coming up this month, September 30th. That's going to be in Westport, Connecticut at a beautiful place called Gilberti's Organic Herb Garden. And there we go out for the day and gather wild and medicinal plants and make them into things that you take home. For instance, skin salve that really heals any skin condition a lot better than anything else you can buy, whether it be in a drugstore or a health food store. And we make smudge sticks, which you can use to actually cleanse your environment. Many people make it now and use it around Christmas time. You actually burn it. It's a Native American ritual to burn smudge sticks for cleansing an area. But it's interesting if you look back in the history, because the exact herbs that we use to make the smudge sticks, such as sage and thuja, which is also called Thuja occidentalis, is called red cedar and has other names as well, that particular tree. And it's something very common that you can pick yourself. Well, those things have specific oils and were always used to make smudge sticks with the concept of spiritual cleansing. But the truth is that they contain actual aromatic oils which come out when you burn them that are highly antimicrobial. So although many times the use of burned herbs can be linked to spiritual applications, for instance, in Judaism, they do something called Havdalah at the end of Shabbos every single week, and that's about a spiritual cleansing. But what's so interesting is these same herbs were used in the same way by burning when they brought it into different kinds of courtrooms, and they were bringing people up from the dungeons. So people who had been in dungeons usually had all kinds of horrible diseases, such as tuberculosis and who knows, all kinds of things, infections that they get down there. And then they're brought up in the courtroom. Well, for both the judges and the jury and whoever else was in that courtroom, they used to burn these same herbs before they brought up the prisoners because they found that people did not tend to catch what the prisoners had. And, you know, that might have been thought of as a spiritual cleansing, but it actually is in reality a totally physical cleansing, because those particular oils are strongly antimicrobial. So they stop the ability of some of these microorganisms to live and be transmitted in the air. So it's so interesting when we look at natural remedies, we find that although there's many things that are called folkloric and are called old wives' tales, once we study them, we find out that they are actually true. So we have so many things coming up. For instance, we have a free herb walk on September 12th. That's 100% free, part of the American Herbalist Guild classes, where we go out and pick wild and edible plants, and you can make them into medicine. Then we have our last Chinatown herb walk of the season, where we meet in New York City in Chinatown on September 24th. We spend the whole day there from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you would explore Chinatown, but also learn exactly where to go to buy various herbs and traditional Chinese medical techniques. And we take a tour of a museum. It's a full day in Chinatown, a grand tour, and people love it. In fact, some people have come several times with us. We do that tour twice a year, and this is, I believe, our 30th year, yes, our 30th year of doing these tours. Then we have the Edible and Medicinal Herb Walk and Medicine Making Workshop at Gilberti's Farm. That's on September 30th. That, again, is an all day. And we go out and make medicine, tinctures, etc. And then we bring them home and use them for whatever you'd like. It's your own medicine that you have, in fact, made. And in October, we have a class called Scientific Validation of Botanical Medicine, which is an online class, and that grants CE credits to nurses and other medical professionals, acupuncturists, massage therapists. And if you don't have a license where you need CE credits, you can always take our class and just get a certificate of attendance that you took it, even though you may not require particular credits for yourself. We also have a really big conference coming up November 10th to November 11th, and that is going to be in Florida, because you know I'm going to be heading down there soon, and that is the Gut-Brain Relationship Conference, and I'll be lecturing along with Dr. Joseph Pizzorno and Michael Murray, many of these people I'm sure you have heard of, in addition to yours truly, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. And that is a two-day conference on the relationship between the gut and the brain and how those two entities are being linked by the new discoveries of the microbiome. So I am an invited speaker to that, and that's going to be in Clearwater, Florida on November 10th and 11th. So if you know anyone in the Florida area, that certainly has, I believe, 12 CE credits for health professionals, including MDs, NDs, chiropractors. That is fully vetted. And so that's November 10th and 11th, a wonderful, wonderful gut-brain relationship conference put on by InnoVision Health. You can find out more at naturalnurse.com calendar and see how to sign up for that. I believe they are having a sale on the registration, which is in place right now. We then have on November 18th, what I was talking about is herbal product marketing legal considerations. Why I was talking about that is because so many people start to get involved in something like one of our workshops, and they make their own skin salves, and they make their own cough syrup, which we do, and they go, wow, this stuff actually works much better than anything I can buy, even in the health food store. So they get excited about it. They start to share it with their friends. And then before you know it, they go, wow, maybe I should sell some of this stuff too. I can't tell you how many people go through that process. Well, that is a good idea, except you need to learn the legal ramifications before you get involved in creating and marketing your own remedies. And they are formidable, and they are run by both the FDA and the FTC, and they are not based on whether or not something works. A lot of people will go, what? I have to make all these changes when this stuff works great? And the thing is, you don't have to, just like you don't have to stop for a red light, but it would be a good idea to know the laws that you are starting to get involved with if you start selling these things. And I have people who have told me, oh, we only sell on Etsy, which is a site for crafts. It's not a problem. And they have then gotten that dreaded letter from the FDA. I have copies of it, okay? You don't want to do that. You don't really want to become pen pals with either the FDA or the FTC. And no one who gets involved in this preliminarily usually knows either the actual laws that you are massively breaking, the fact that Just because you're ignorant of the laws does not give you a pass. Again, think about the red light. You go, oh, I came from another planet. I didn't know you're supposed to stop on red lights. That doesn't get you off. So I would suggest that we have a little session called Herbal Marketing Legal Considerations. You can either join in on a group session or we could have one privately. Before you begin to have a concept of selling homemade anything, particularly herbal remedies, which we specialize in herbal and other nutraceutical home remedies, before you decide to sell those would be the best idea, would save you the most money, and set you up for success. So that's one of the many, many things that we offer. So talking about legal considerations, I was really interested in the little blurb that was on our station right here. Our station, of course, is Gary Null's station, Progressive Radio Network at PRN.FM. And right before I came on was a really fantastic news report about the Trump administration halted a study of mountaintop coal mining's health effects. Isn't that amazing? Because the National Academy of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine was involved in studying the health effects both on miners and their family to what's called mountaintop mining. That's where they blow off the top of the mountain, which spews an amazing amount of toxic chemicals into the air. And what this study has been finding in the preliminary research is that it is very toxic and, in fact, increases disease and death with a health hazard profile. And they often fail to account for extraneous health and lifestyle effects. So they were actually studying coal mining in central Appalachia, where the committee's work is focused, which includes mountaintop removal. So they were going to see that the practice is so destructive that the government should stop issuing permits for it, especially because of the pollution to the streams as well as the air, et cetera, et cetera. So, of course, what happened, unfortunately, is that the Trump administration ordered a halt to the study. They do not want that study to get out. They do not want that study to be finished. They do not want the actual miners to be able to know about the health risks for residents near surface coal mining sites in Appalachia, because that would go against a focus on what's called clean coal and clean mining. So very amazing and absolutely horrendous that we should stop research that leads to the truth, that leads to health, that leads to safety. They also gutted the Clean Water Act because that also is impacted by the mining, because when the tops are blown after the off the mountains, there are certain toxic chemicals that run off into the water, and that would have been interfered with by the Clean Water Act that was in place, which has now been revised to not be in place anymore. So I think people really need, especially those of you, I know we have listeners right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z from all over the country, and we're so happy that we have you. And, you know, you're the ones who are going to be affected, people there in Appalachia, and I know we have listeners there as well. But then when we look at areas where they have implemented stronger views against this kind of mining, there's much less incident of those very diseases that are caused by the mountaintop mining. So for you to decide and for you to decide what involves your participation in terms of moving towards a healthier, safer, and happier world. I really don't like the idea that we're being bulldozed back 20 or 30 years, many decades backwards, in terms of protecting the very world, which is the only one we have. So that's my comments about it. Now, we're going to talk for the rest of our hour about a specific issue, which is sleep. And we're going to talk about supporting sleep naturally and insomnia. Well, insomnia is really prolific. It's just amazing how many people, unfortunately, have an issue with this. And what is insomnia? Well, it's really kind of the ability to sleep, inability to sleep, or sometimes the inability to stay asleep. It's not always about, you know, not being able to fall asleep. Some people can fall asleep, but it's a prolonged inability to get adequate sleep. So that's maybe not being able to fall asleep right away or waking up in the middle of the night and having trouble getting back to sleep. So either of those things could be called insomnia. If that happens to you now and then, well, that can often be addressed by something really simple like caffeine avoidance, because caffeine is truly a stimulant. What I find with health-conscious individuals is that very often they do not recognize the fact that caffeine is in not only coffee, everyone knows that, but it's in tea. And sometimes, yes, they realize it's in regular black tea, like English tea or a commercial tea. But very often they don't seem to realize that it's also in regular green tea, you know. And then there's something called decaffeinated green tea. So tea also has caffeine. Another is chocolate. So chocolate has caffeine, and people don't realize that. They may go, oh, yeah, I have a little chocolate, let's say, last thing in the evening when I'm relaxing and watching TV. And, you know, chocolate actually does have caffeine as well. So you might be having chocolate. You might be having something like chocolate ice cream in the evening, and you suddenly have a night that you're not sleeping well. Of course, there's always a possibility of a situation that's going on in your life that might be worrisome that you're thinking about in the evening. So that would be called occasional insomnia. And that's not really a big deal. That requires any kind of sleep. If you don't have excellent sleep one night or so, that's not really going to be a problem. However, if it goes on, then it can definitely be a problem, and it can lead to a lot of different kinds of health issues, like nervous conditions, skin conditions, depending on what's going on with you, and of course, an interference in mental capacity. So all of those things are possible if you find that you are regularly not sleeping correctly. That is definitely a problem. And we know that there's been so many studies on this as well. For instance, there's a study called The Epidemiology of Insomnia, What We Know and What We Still Need to Learn. And that was in the Sleep Medical Review Journal. And they were talking about the fact that it affects everybody from some time to another, but if the condition becomes chronic, it actually interferes with the overall quality of life and also with your job, especially if you have a job that involves some thought processes, because it becomes very difficult to concentrate during the day, and it also jeopardizes overall health and wellness. And it has a long, long list of potential health issues that could occur. So that would be something that you definitely want to pay attention to. Are you having interfered with sleep ongoingly? And then, of course, people often will turn to various kinds of sleep aids, prescription ones, and some of those have really, they do work, they'll put you to sleep. But they actually, like Ambien, for instance, is a big one nowadays, they actually do help people sleep. But then they have such a long list of possible side effects that you really have to question, is this actually worth taking? You know, that's something that you always want to question before you use any kind of pharmaceutical. You want to actually, and of course nowadays you can ask your doctor, but you can also look it up online. You know, you just look up Ambien side effects, pretty easy. So it's daytime drowsiness, dizziness, weakness, feeling drugged, feeling tired, lack of coordination, stuffy nose, dry mouth, nose or throat in irritation, nausea, constipation, diarrhea, upset stomach, headache, muscle pain. I mean, even just those don't sound so, you know, fantastic, but it actually gets worse because it can lead to things like suicidal effects, clumsiness, you know, all kinds of things. So then again, it works very well for some people. So if you do choose to use a pharmaceutical to address chronic insomnia, just be aware that there are going to be lots and lots of negative effects that might be possible. Doesn't mean they're definitely going to happen, but let's just say it might be possible. So it's something you really want to be aware of before you make that as a choice. And then, of course, what we're going to talk about is what are some of the natural things that we can do that really, really helps us get the best and most intense sleep. So we're going to talk about a lot of herbs and nutritional supplements as we move through our show today here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. But the first thing I'll talk about really before we go to break is counting sheep, because counting sheep is something I would call a traditional intervention. Traditional means something that has been used for thousands of years. Counting sheep may not be such a bad idea, because any kind of stress reduction technique that will take your mind off focusing on, oh, I can't go to sleep, I can't go to sleep, especially if it's a repetitive thought, can help with relaxation and getting a good night's sleep. And these are actually well documented in scientific literature. So I also want to throw out there that we will take listener calls on air today. And we don't usually do that because we don't like to interrupt the guest. But you can call in and speak to me, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse. We're going to go to break here. But when we come back, you can call in 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. And we'll take some of your questions if you'd like to call in. We're going to take a break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and we will be right back with more.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss Sar sarsaparilla, or Smilax officinalis.
Sar sarsaparilla is a tropical plant which grows in South America, Mexico, and Guatemala. Although most Americans are familiar with it as a flavor enhancer for root beer, it has also been used for its beneficial properties for hundreds of years by many different cultures. In Roman times, the young shoots were eaten, and the mature vines were worn as garlands at festivals of Bacchus. According to ancient Roman writings, Sar sarsaparilla originated when the beautiful maiden, Smilax, was turned into a shrub after her love was slighted by the young crocus.
Sar sarsaparilla was brought to Europe in the 16th century by Spanish traders. A French physician, Nicolas Monardus, published a comprehensive account of Sar sarsaparilla as a treatment for syphilis in 1574. During Portuguese military operations in 1812, a British inspector general of hospitals noted its positive effect on syphilis patients. It has also been used in China for treatment of the same condition. Sar sarsaparilla was included in the United States Pharmacopoeia until 1950 as a recommended treatment of secondary syphilis.
Sarsaparilla's medicinal action appears to be a result of binding bacterial endotoxins in the gut, thereby decreasing their absorption. This greatly reduces the stress on the liver and is likely responsible for its historic use as a tonic and blood purifier.
In a controlled study of 92 patients published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 1942, a chemically active component of sarsaparilla called sarsaponin greatly improved psoriasis in 62% of the patients and resulted in complete clearance in 18%. Sarsaparilla is often recommended by naturopathic physicians for gout, arthritis, and psoriasis. Another folkloric use for sarsaparilla is as a tonic for male sexual potency.
So, if you want a root beard flavored tea with a long history as a healthy tonic, reach for the sarsaparilla in your natural medicine chest.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and we're talking about healthy sleep and also for insomnia, what to do about it, or even just sleeplessness. And if you'd like to call in with your question, we're going to open the phones today at 888-874-4888. And I believe we do have a caller, Bobby from New Jersey. So hi, Bobby. Thanks for joining us on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Good morning. I had a question. I heard you over time and about some of the natural remedies. I've always been interested in those. Here lately, I've been getting a lot of fatigue, and I'm not quite sure why. I work a lot of hours, but I try to rest in between that. And I wanted to know if you had something that, you know, helps to boost up your energy.
Okay, well, definitely. And, you know, fatigue is interesting because it is linked to insomnia, because by not sleeping well, of course, that is going to cause fatigue. And what a lot of people do is just try to use a lot of caffeine to offset the fatigue. But we have to, in natural medicine, we're always interested in the cause. Tole causum is actually what naturopaths go by in particular. So tole causum means find the cause. Why are you fatigued? Well, you just mentioned one. You're working irregular hours and you're working lots of hours. Are you working overnight shifts?
In some cases, a couple of nights a week, yes.
Yeah, and then especially because it's a couple of nights a week, that actually throws out your system because it's not even regular. So, but then again, if that's your job, you might have to do that, right? Another thing that often leads to fatigue is B vitamin deficiencies. So one of the things you can do is use more vitamins, a natural form of B, something like actually increasing your intake of grains such as brown rice will improve your vitamin B status. If you take supplements, you can take a very natural kind of vitamin B, one that is just made from Saccharomyces cerevisiae is a good one, like Biostrath, that's B-I-O-S-T-R-A-T-H, which is not particularly high milligram. It is really interesting that just last week there was a study coming out saying that men in particular, which you fall into, Bobby, men who use very high levels of vitamin B supplements and smoke cigarettes are more likely to get lung cancer. So that's kind of interesting. But that same association was not there for men who don't smoke cigarettes. So again, I don't know your situation. But well, if you do smoke cigarettes, it might not be the best thing to take very high B vitamins.
Also, is there a possible way to get a schedule of your classes beforehand?
Yes.
I'd like to
very
attend.
Easy way to get a schedule of my classes, and it's updated regularly. The best thing to do is to go to Natural Nurse, all one word, naturalnurse.com, and once you go there, across the top there are bars, and there's a bar that says calendar, and you just go to the calendar bar, and when you open that, you're going to see all the up-and-coming classes and lectures and things that you can attend. Some of them are in person, like the Chinatown trip is in Chinatown. Going to the herb workshop in Connecticut, that's on ground. And then we have lots of online stuff. So then you, you know, you can also do it online if you're not someone who's in the area. And we also have a lot of pre-recorded lectures that you can listen in on. So you can get in touch and we'll give you more information, or just go to naturalnurse.com and click on calendar. And thank you so much for your call. You want to increase your B vitamins. See what you can do about, you know, the shift work. Of course, sometimes we can't do anything if that is our living. You have to work around it. Make sure when you're home that your room is extremely, extremely dark. And also cut down on sugar, because very often sugar is linked to the growth of Candida albicans. And one of the side effects of having a lot of Candida albicans in the system, which is a kind of yeast, is tiredness and fatigue, ongoing fatigue. It's called chronic fatigue syndrome when it gets really bad, often linked to microbial overgrowth. That's the gut-brain microbiome connection that we'll be presenting about in Florida. So if you cut out sugar, increase protein, and increase B vitamins, you may find that there's a lot of help there for you, Bobby. And thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
And we will take your call, if you'd like, today on air at 888-874-4888. We're talking about sleep and insomnia, and we're talking about some of the things you can do. So far we said, yeah, counting sheep, or, you know, visualizing a flower. You know that flower, which is a beautiful daisy that people do, he loves me not, or she loves me not on it. Well, you can actually visualize that flower and see yourself pulling off one leaf at a time. Actually see that kind of repetitive mental process, like counting sheep that are jumping over a fence, the real classic one, can really help with sleep. Another one is being really, really focused on maximizing darkness. Most people nowadays, with all the artificial light, really are not maximizing darkness in their life. They have lots and lots of light that is coming into the room. So what you might want to do, if you're someone suffering, especially with chronic sleep issues, is be sure that you don't have the TV on now, or loud and upsetting news before you go to sleep, because that kind of revs you up if you see all the things that are going on in the world, like blowing off mountaintops and stopping the study about how harmful and toxic those are, and that kind of revs you up. It does rev me up. Basically, you don't want to think about that right when you're going to sleep, and you don't want to watch a story or listen to a story about it right before bed. And there are physical reasons for that. That can stimulate the release of adrenaline, which is a brain stimulant and can therefore interfere with sleep. You also want to be sure that all sources of light are downplayed, such as electric clocks, cell phones. If you have your cell phone in your room, keep it far away from your head and put it down flat so it is not actually looking right in your face. You can't see that little light, and that would be, you know, a very reasonable thing to do. Then you also want to be sure that there's not a lot of noise, like ticking clocks and things like that. And why is because light suppresses your natural production of melatonin. And melatonin is also referred to as the sleep hormone. And exposure to room light before bedtime suppresses melatonin onset and shortens melatonin duration and production in humans. And I'm not just guessing this, but this is right out of the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. So this is a well-proven and scientifically understood phenomena that our pineal gland, which is also known as the third eye, it has to do again with both spiritual focus as well as sleep, only really produces enough melatonin in total darkness. So you want to, you know, I do things like put up extra curtains in my room because sometimes even if you pull the blinds down, light comes in around the edges. So I also have, I guess it would be called a blindfold, but the kind of blindfold I have has a cup instead of being flat because the eye covers that are flat interfere with your eyelashes being able to go up and down, which they do when you're in the deepest sleep. So you want the kind of eye cover that is like a little cup, and therefore it's really, really pitch black under that if you can't get out all the light from your room. Why? Because you want to maximize your melatonin production, your natural melatonin production. Some people also do use melatonin to help with their sleep as a supplement, and it is available as a supplement, but there are certain side effects even to using melatonin as a supplement, certainly nowhere near the amount of problems that there are with something like Ambien. But I think it's actually better to get your melatonin level perhaps tested by your doctor before you just go popping melatonin pills. But if you do try melatonin over the counter, if it works for you, good. Watch out for some of the adverse effects like headaches, strange dream patterns, light flashing in front of your eyes during the day the next day. These are some of the things that may happen with melatonin. Melatonin is not my first choice as a supplement. Since melatonin is a hormone, I would go much more with various kinds of herbs, which we're going to talk about next, rather than using a hormone first. However, increasing the darkness in your room, well, that upgrades your natural production of melatonin without taking anything from the outside. Certainly using things like quiet music instead of the news, you know, the upsetting news, actually putting quiet music on, using lavender aromatherapy oil, and learning deep breathing techniques, which are taught both in yoga, in meditation, and stress reduction, where you completely relax your abdomen and let your lower belly fill with air as you inhale and release the air and go down as you exhale. All of these things can set the stage for a restful night's sleep. So having a very dark room, not having your alarm clock that plugged in near you, especially if it has that digital screen that doesn't go off, all of those things are very, very helpful and worth a try because they don't have the same kind of effect as something like Ambien or one of the other sleep-enhancing drugs. I would really hold off and use them way later, if none of these other things we're going to talk about work. So the first thing that we will address is valerian. And I just want to mention that if you want to call in with your health question, we already had a caller, and if you'd like to call in, 888-874-4888, and we will take your question on air. And we're going to talk a little about valerian, because valerian is really, I would say, the most well-known sleep-supportive herb. And there is also a lot of science. It's been really, really well-tested in terms of references, effect on valerian on sleep quality has been widely, widely studied, actually, in mainstream medical literature. So herbal remedies have been used safely for centuries for insomnia. And if any of you have one of our books, Dr. Zamperone and I have written many books. You can find them at naturalnurse.com, then products and books. And one of the books is called The Natural Medicine Chest. And in there, we have a lot of the studies and exactly how to use valerian. It makes getting to sleep easier and increases deep sleep and dreaming. And deep sleep is the kind of sleep that is very supportive of building healthy new cells in the body, such as bone cells are rebuilt. If you've had any kind of trauma or an incident or surgery, you know, the reason you heal is because your body actually builds new cells. And we find that the most intense time for this new healthy cell rebuilding is during deep sleep. And valerian causes deep sleep and increases dreaming. So it's a very healthy brain chemical. It does not cause too much of a morning hangover, which is a side effect coming to prescription drugs, as we talked about, you know, sleepiness, dizziness, all those things that go on with many of the pharmaceuticals. Now, there have been many studies on valerian, as I said, and one double-blind trial found that valerian, about 600 milligrams 30 minutes before bed for 1 month, is comparable in efficacy to oxazepam, which is a drug called Cerax, a commonly prescribed drug for insomnia. And in a separate double-blind trial, the same amount of valerian extract was found to improve assessment of sleep quality and certain aspects of brain function during sleep as well. So not only is it been scientifically studied to be just as effective as many of the pharmaceutical drugs, it is also has a much lower incidence of adverse effects. That's called the adverse effect profile. And we do find in general that while herbs are certainly not completely free of any kind of side effect, that's really incorrect when people say, oh, anything natural has no side effects. That's not true. But in general, overall, statistically, and really deeply scientifically studied, this statement is true, that overall, various kinds of nutraceuticals and herbal remedies have a much better what's called adverse effect profile than most pharmaceutical drugs. So that means for most people, it will be just as effective, but much safer, which is a wonderful thing to try first. And then if it doesn't work for you, you might need to move into the pharmaceuticals, hopefully for a short period of time. We're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to take your calls, and you can call us at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. We'll take your calls, and we will also continue our discussion with other natural remedies for insomnia. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Progressive Radio Network, the number one network for those who care about the truth.
Hello, this is Cordelia Gafar. I'm the founder of Workout Around My Day and the Stressless Mom of Six. I have started the new Replenish Me radio show to help moms to have strategies to get through their day and to renew themselves throughout the day with little small self-care tips. And I'll be having interviews with self-love coaches, wellness coaches, just to help you. So join me Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and replenish you.
PRN would like to thank its listeners for making us number one on Zeno Radio's phone service and also the top searched internet radio station on Google. Thank you for helping us move forward.
And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we're talking sleep here today, how you can get a good night's sleep. And you can join us and listen anytime. And we are taking callers today. If you'd like to call, the number is 888-874-4888. And we do have a caller on the line right now. We have Chris from Maryland. Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Hi, Ellen. I'm sorry. I came in onto your program a little late. Do you want us to only ask questions about sleep?
No, that's okay. You can go ahead and throw out your question. We'll see what we can
great.
Do with it.
Thank you. I'm on dialysis, and I have kidney failure. I'm not looking to address that right now, although it works in conjunction with my other problems. I seem to have blood clots in my lungs, according to the doctor that I saw about a week ago, and I have atrial fibrillation, clogged arteries, and I've had two heart attacks, and cardiac enzyme troponin is leaking into my blood, causing a lot of burning and racing. I just had an episode last night with my heart. So I was just wondering, are there any herbs to address blood clots in the lungs?
Okay, well, that kind of question we absolutely could never address over the air, because there's so much going on with you that
right.
I'm sure you're on some pharmaceuticals as well, and there are always drug considerations.
Well, the one that I've taken is called metoprolol, and I don't take it on a regular basis. I try not to because I don't
right.
like drugs. I've never taken drugs.
We're talking here about, you know, potentially very serious illnesses. And, of course, we can't give out particular remedies for something like a blood clot, because sometimes if you get a blood clot to move, then mm-hmm. you're in worse shape, because let's say it's attached to a little artery in your lung, but it's stable and it's there. And then if we start to use herbs that can help with blood thinning potentials, and there's lots and lots of herbs that do help to thin the blood, like ginkgo biloba, white willow bark, all of those things are really excellent to use as blood thinners. But do we want to do that in your case? Because what if it thins the blood, and what if the clot is attached somewhere nice and safe where it's just sitting there, and then it gets loose and goes around and gets caught in an artery that's feeding your heart and could cause a heart attack, or an artery or venule that's feeding your brain that's going to cause a stroke. So that's something that is really better addressed. That kind of question is better addressed with your medical provider than, you know, on the radio to just talk about things like that. So
I understand what you're saying, but all they want to do is put me on drugs, and that's not what I'm looking for, because there's
okay, so then
many...
to find a holistic health provider in your area. What an
okay.
excellent way to do that for you and all of our listeners is to go Google functional medicine. You can just Google functional medicine. When you get to the site, they have a little link saying find a functional doctor in your area, and then you can put in your zip code, and you'll get a long list of qualified healthcare providers in your area, and then you can call them and see if, in fact, they take your health insurance. You'll usually find someone who does. So that's what I would suggest that you or anyone else who wants to find a holistic provider, a trained doctor in their area, to go ahead and do, because those are some serious health issues that you have, Chris.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we're going to continue a little bit now with our discussion of sleep remedies above and beyond valerian, which we talked about, above and beyond maximizing darkness, because there are many, many other herbs that can be tremendously useful. And for instance, here's a good one, hops. A lot of people love hops because, of course, we use hops to brew beer. And it's one of the reasons beer is so relaxing. And it's really considered an approved substance by the German Commission E, which is the commission in Germany that talks about the use of herbs as healing agents and really as drugs. And they can be useful as an aid for sleep disturbance. Also, it's a very nutritious herb. Hops is exceedingly nutritious. It's full of B vitamins, and that's one of the reasons that it's also used by nursing mothers. It helps to improve lactation and milk supply. It's also a beautiful plant. I just went with my husband, I guess about a week ago, to a lovely organic farm, which is right on Long Island, believe it or not, for those local listeners. It's on Merrick Avenue, and it's run as part of the Cornell Cooperative Extension. It's an absolutely lovely place, and we were just wandering around in the back looking at the plant, and lo and behold, there were these beautiful hops plants growing. And hops has this very special plant part, and the plant part is called a thallus, T-H-A-L-L-U-S. So it's called the hops thallus that they can pick off, and it's really a really remarkably pretty little plant part. But hops has a long list of studies looking at its ability to aid both with relaxation and also with sleep disturbance. So, and in addition the hops little plant is called a strobile, not a thallus. It's called a strobile, that special little botanical structure at the end of hops. And you break up the strobile in a cup of water and add boiling water and allow it to steep for 15 minutes and then strain. And it's also, of course, available as capsules and extracts. You want to take about 500 milligrams of hops during times of extra stress. And also at the end of the day would be a good time to use it, to lead to relaxation and better sleep. So if you turn down the light and you sip on some hops tea and some valerian root, and you use, let's say, relaxation techniques like deep breathing, you also can do that if it's the middle of the night. You know, sometimes people wake up and it's the middle of the night and they're okay with falling asleep, but then they have trouble around 3 in the morning. If you're familiar with Chinese medicine, you know that many different meridians start to kick in at that time, in the middle of the night, and that has a wake-up potential. So some people are okay with falling asleep initially, but then in the middle of the night, they wake up and they find it's very difficult to fall back asleep. So you can have these herbs right on your night table and take them again, even, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Another one to add in would be passion flower. Passion flower was first named by the Jesuit priests when they arrived on the shores of the New World, and by the way, there was a gorgeous passion flower and passion fruit growing at the Cornell Cooperative Extension on Merrick Avenue in East Meadow. Definitely a place to go if you're anywhere in the metro area. It was just a real treat to be there. But Do call them first so you can find out when they're open. They're not always opened, although you can, you know, look around at the plants. But a passion flower resembles a crown of thorns. And the priest, the Jesuit priest, actually thought that as well, which is why they named it passion flower. Some people think that it might initiate a more passionate response, like a sexual enhancing herb. But actually, the name came because they felt that the flower looked like the passion of Christ because it has something that looks like the crown of thorns. It's just absolutely exquisite. Look up passion flower, even on Google, to look at one. And it also has stamens, which are plant parts, that look like five nails, with the Jesuit priest felt, you know, with the nails that they used for Christ. So it's a beautiful, beautiful flower. It acts as a mild sedative and relaxant and helps to soothe agitation. And one study assessed the effect of a combination of several of the herbs we just talked about, in fact, in particular, valerian, hops, and passion flower, and found that when compared to the pharmaceutical drug, Zolpidem, also known as Ambien, as we mentioned earlier, the herbal combination was found to be as safe, really more safe, and just as effective for primary insomnia. And that study appeared as the efficacy and safety of a polyherbal sedative hypnotic formula, NSF3, in primary insomnia in comparison to Zolpidem. It's a randomized controlled study that appeared in the Indian Journal of Pharmacology not so long ago. This was actually in 2013. So any of these herbs would be a good choice and something that you might want to investigate. Remember, whenever you try anything new, you do want to check on taking perhaps a little bit by itself, you know, once, just to see, because although there's no discussion of deadly effects, anyone can have a sensitivity reaction to anything. Think about how many people actually eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and then there are those people that literally can die if they eat even a little bit of peanuts because they have an anaphylactic reaction to it and their throat closes. Okay, so that could happen with anything at any time in terms of different people having sensitivities. So when I'm telling you about these herbs being extremely safe, extremely effective, that has to do with the predominance of both traditional and scientific literature, which is very, very, very strong in terms of supporting their use, much safer than the profile that's listed for most pharmaceutical drugs. So it's certainly something that you can consider. And you can first do the non-herb, non-drug stuff, like darken your room, learn deep breathing techniques, listen to quiet music, use various kinds of aromatherapy in the room, relaxation scents such as lavender, and then go on to also incorporating some of the herbs such as valerian, hops, passion flower. There's also a lot of amino acids and nutraceuticals that are extremely powerful to aid with sleep. And so you can read the article that I just wrote about that. If you do go to naturalnurse.com or even listen to today's show, I actually did I did list an article that I just wrote. It just came out, and it's in a brand new magazine, an online magazine that you can access. So you can go right there to the link, and you can get the article, or you can contact me for more information at naturalnurse.com. It's always such a pleasure to bring you this show right here on Progressive Radio Network. So until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.